I will triumph over the enemy. Sing it with me, sing it, sing.
Find out more about the church by visiting maryassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at maryassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh Podcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to the month of May. May the 1st, 2015. It's hard to believe that it's already here, but a lot of great people are born in May. That's all I'm going to say about that situation. There's a lot of birthdays, and mine is one of them. And several years ago, I heard a pastor, he didn't celebrate his birthday. He celebrated his birth month, and they said, and he really did. He wanted everybody to celebrate for the entire month. And so anyway, welcome to the month of May. It's Friday. I pray that God is preparing your hearts for what he is going to do this coming weekend as you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So thank you for listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. A couple of announcements we do want to bring to you. We have our ladies' banquet that is coming up it's a week from tomorrow. And so that is coming up at Merit Assembly of God. Instead of our normal Women of Worth meeting, we have a special banquet for them this time of year. Then we have a special speaker that is going to be with us on Mother's Day, ministering the Word of God. Her and her husband are missionaries to young people here in this peninsula of Florida. So those are some special activities that are coming up at Merit Assembly of God. We'd like you to, now tomorrow, or Sunday, I will be preaching both the Sunday morning and the Sunday night service. And so we want to invite you out to the services this weekend. Also, next Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, 7 p.m., First Baptist Church of Merritt Island is where we will be gathering. Come out and be a part of that. I believe that over the past year, we have seen that America is in desperate need of getting back to the Word of God and to the presence of God. And so we want to invite you to come be a part of that prayer meeting. On yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned to you that First Baptist Church is expanding their alternative pregnancy center. One of the things that they hope to do is to house an ultrasound machine. And we at Merit Assembly of God are wanting to help them achieve their goal. You do realize that the body of Christ, we are not in competition with one another. We are in cooperation with one another. So we at Merit Assembly of God are wanting to bless the alternative pregnancy center and their directors with a tool that the statistics say that 87 out of every 100 mothers who see their baby on ultrasound end up going on and delivering those babies. In other words, abortion loses 87 out of 100 potential abortions. Just because the mom sees the reality, the truth of what is going on inside of their body, that is a living human being that is there. And so if you would like to help us help First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, if you would contact us at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. And if you are making a check out, just write, make it out to Merritt Assembly of God in the memo line, write alternative pregnancy center or ultrasound, either one of those things. And this Thursday night when we go over there, we're going to be bringing a check with us to let them know that they are not alone in their fight for human dignity and human life here on Merritt Island. So if you haven't been able to send a check in, if you want to, you don't think it'll get to us before Thursday, you can send us an email at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 454-4263. But anyway, Thursday night's going to be a miracle night. We're really looking forward to what God is going to do on that night. Let me take you to the Word of God, Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Yesterday, we made it through verse number 1. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice?" And I'm just going to stop reading there, because we've got so much to talk about in Isaiah 58 that we're not going to get all the way to the end of the chapter today. So if we get to go a little bit further, we will. So verse number 1, as we addressed on yesterday's broadcast, is the need for God's people to continue to herald the cry of that sin is a reality. That's why we need a Savior. Sin is a reality. That's why we need a Savior. And to a large extent, people do not have a clue as to what sin is anymore. Sin is being defined by Hollywood. Sin is being defined as by you know, society in general. And they are doing that according to what seems right in their own eyes instead of the manner, the definition in which God defines it. Listen, when society starts changing words and redefining words to fit their means instead of God's means, then that society needs to be reminded of what sin is. And at Merit Assembly of God, we still preach about sin. We still preach about forgiveness. We still preach about love. We still preach about reconciliation to Jesus. We still preach about the blood and the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. We teach about the Word of God, and we are unashamed about that. You know, what can society do that we have not already been through and seen God provide for us? We have been where our building was in pretty bad shape, and God now has it in pretty good shape. We have been bankrupt, and now we are not bankrupt. We have owed money beyond bankrupt, and God has caused us to be debt-free. We had no people, no young people, and now both of those things exist at Merit Assembly of God. At one point in time, there was not very much in the way of a leadership team, and now we have a marvelous leadership team, probably the best leadership team that we have ever had at Merit Assembly of God. And so we are here. We are in debt to no man. We are a very grateful people, a very thankful people. We are also not an arrogant people. I'm not here telling you what sin is by Bob's definition. All I am proclaiming is the Word of God. Listen, if I can help explain this to some people, when it says, "Judge not lest you be judged," that does not mean that there is not judgment taking place. It means that I am not to define the standard by which judgment takes place. That is a privilege that is reserved for the Word of God. And the Word of God is very clear. It is a day of woe when, in those days, people call good evil and evil good. It is a day of evil. It is a day of lament when God says, "You are tolerating sexual sin in my house instead of dealing with it." That's in the book of Revelation. It is a woeful day when we do not take serious the issue of sin in our life. If you and I were to go to the doctor today and the doctor said, "You know, you have something that is in your body, and if you leave it alone, you might not notice any consequence today, you might not notice any consequence tomorrow, but as the time goes on, the consequences are going to get more and more drastic, and the only way to deal with this is to surgically remove that thing from your life, from your body. If you leave it unaddressed long enough, it's going to kill you. What do you want to do? I don't know about you, but I always like dealing with my problems when they're small, much more than when they are a raging inferno. And I think a wise course of action is, I want it out of my life, I want it out of my life right now. And that's the attitude that we need to have with sin. What Isaiah 58 says is that in spite of the fact that people had blatant sin going on in their society and in their life, it says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances or the ordinance of their God. And so what he was saying was, in spite of the fact that their heart was not right, and here we are talking about the nation of Judah, the entire society was not right with God, and it says, yet they were seeking him daily. They were still going through the rituals. They were going through the motions. They were acting as if they were still seeking him. And it says, and they were acting as if they delighted to know my ways. Delighted to know my ways. I will tell you that I find it a great privilege and a great joy to be forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. I find it a great joy and great privilege to be a child of God and to be able to serve him with all of my heart, soul, mind, strength, finances, with my study time. I find it a great joy. God is a tremendous God to serve. But I don't go through all of those things and yet want to leave the sin issue unaddressed, because that is what Jesus is talking about, that there's going to come a time when people are saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name and didn't we do that in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You see, knowing God is the first and foremost priority, as we're going to be talking about a God-defined fast in Isaiah chapter 58, which is eventually going to get us to the point about God's leadership that I wanted to address, which brought us to this passage in the first place. That as we get to that place, we're going to discover that a God-defined fast is all about a reestablishment of priorities from what is pleasing to us to what is pleasing God. It is not a doing away with. It is a reprioritizing and drawing near to God. So today I encourage you, don't let your relationship with God deteriorate into a laborious drudgery. But instead, realize what a great privilege it is. I've heard a number of people say it, I've said it, and that is this: I don't have to read my Bible. I get the privilege of reading my Bible. I do not have to go to church. I have the privilege of going to church. I do not have to pray. I have the privilege of praying. I do not have to do anything with God. God has granted us the privilege of being able to do that. And so, he said, these people's actions were of such that they were going through the motions as if everything was right between them and God, and actually God was saying everything was actually not all right. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you just sense that there was some tension, and you have to ask a question. Are we okay here? Is there something bothering you? Are we all right? But that was what was going on. That's why, you know, in the first chapter of Isaiah, God says, come, let us reason together, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. How long has it been since you asked God, are we okay there? Is there anything in my heart that's unclean? Is there anything that I need to lay aside? He said, this is what their prayers were. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? Now, I will tell you, just from a historical observation, and that is this, that generally the people who are crying out and asking in prayer for justice are people who feel as if they have been wronged. And so they're crying out to God, and they are asking God for justice. God, this person has wronged me, and I'm asking you for justice. And if they happen to live through the process, well, you know, that's a tolerable side effect. But God, what I really want more than anything is justice at all costs. Now, I want to tell you what the Word of God declares about justice. It says this: mercy triumphs over justice. It is true that there are a number of people in the Old Testament, and they cried out for God to decimate their enemies. But the truth of the cross is this, that Jesus died for every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever lived on the planet, Jew, Gentile, Christian, or non-Christian. He died for them that they might hear the good news of Jesus Christ, ask forgiveness of their sins, and be reconciled to the Father. Today, when I cry out for people, when I am praying for those that I may not be in one accord with, I'm not crying out for justice, I'm crying out for mercy. Here's why. Justice for Bob Arthurs is not that he's behind a radio, or he's not filling a pulpit, he's not studying the Word of God, not living in a house and driving an old van. That's not justice. Justice for Bob was that he rebelled against the plans and purposes of God. He was a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. If you want to know what justice for me was, the spiritual death penalty was justice in my life. But thank God that instead of justice, God gave me mercy. He did not give me the things that I deserved. Instead, he gifted me with grace. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Where mercy is me not getting what I do deserve, God's grace is God giving to me things that I do not deserve. Today, I believe that we need to have a righteous standard. A righteous standard. What happens a lot of times is people are crying out, and they are crying out asking for mercy for themselves and condemnation for those that have wronged them. And God is saying, when you cry out for justice, is that really what you want? Because if God was going to manifest his justice, and by the way, he is, there is going to come a time where God is going to restore everything on earth. There is not going to be any more corruption. There is not going to be any more bribery. There is not going to be any more misrepresentation of facts. There is not going to be any more suppression of truth. Listen, we live in a day and time, whatever you do is generally caught on tape someplace. Things that people got by with, and things in days, no, society's not winking at those things anymore. Isn't it interesting that now that society's standard is changing, that we can look back and see, you know, God's not winking at the things that used to take place. Now he's looking for it. And listen to me, church. It says that judgment begins at the house of God. We need to make sure that we are using righteous standards. A lot of times people want to deal with others in their emotions and themselves with mercy. God is looking for us to be agents and distributors of his mercy and grace. They ask of me, in verse number 2, the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching God. Okay? Now, at the very surface, this sounds very, very noble, very pious, very righteous. But look at what they're asking of me for the ordinances of justice. They're crying and they're saying, wait a minute, God, this is unfair. We're supposed to be walking in your provision, and now we are walking in your correction. This seems to be unfair. And so they're coming to me, and they seem to take delight in coming to me, says the Lord. And here is the way that they pray when they come there. First of all, they're asking justice, which is saying, God, punish those who are treating me badly. And then it says that their next accusation is, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? And so their delight in coming to the Lord was so that they could present this prayer. God, why are you ignoring us? On this last Sunday, I preached out of Luke chapter 8, where Jairus came for his daughter to be healed. And I addressed the situation of how do we respond to God during the silent times, during those times when we are not hearing from God. There is no recorded verbal exchange taking place between Jesus and Jairus until they are on their way to Jairus' house, and the woman with the issue of blood gets healed. Jesus stops what he's doing. He stops the journey to Jairus' house and deals with this woman who has reached out and grabbed hold of a miracle and stopped the journey. And immediately as Jesus is stopping and dealing with issue with this woman, all of a sudden the messenger comes to Jairus and says, don't trouble him anymore. Your little girl is dead and the situation is now hopeless. Don't trouble the master anymore. How do you respond when Jesus is on the journey with you but you haven't heard him say anything? I want you to know that right now that Jesus is on your journey with you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. It says he causes the sun to rise on the righteous, on the just and the unjust. When the next time you see the sunrise, all you got to say is, you know what? God's still with me because his covenant with the sun is still in effect. God's not forsaken you. If he was to forsaken you, by the way, if God was interested in killing us all instead of redeeming us all he would simply have to do is withdraw oxygen from the planet and boom, all of us would fall dead. It would be all over for humanity. It would be all over for life in every form and capacity on this earth. All God would have to do is withdraw his hand. If God was interested in condemning you, all he would have to do is not do anything. And you and I would die in our trespasses and sin. God, why are you ignoring me? Immediately after that message is delivered to Jairus, Jesus hears it and he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe, and your daughter is going to live. Don't be afraid. I encourage you that in 2015, do not let fear grip your heart. Do not let fear paralyze you. Do not let disappointment in what's going on in the world around you, do not let the disappointment and discouragement of your circumstances compel you to make slanderous accusations against God. Because God is holy. God is just. God is compassionate. God is merciful and long-suffering and gracious. God is your healer, your savior, the lover of your soul. He's your friend. And I just want you, I shared on yesterday's broadcast, God has not forgotten you. God is not ignoring you. But God is not winking at sin. He's never had a cavalier attitude towards sin. He's always wanted to deal with it because sin displaces us from his presence. Sin is a wedge that drives itself in between us and the blessing and the favor and the provision of God. If you do not want God's lordship in your life, you will soon find yourself without his provision in your life. And you and I, we've got to come to that place and we say, God, haven't you seen? And here's the first reference to fasting here in verse number 3. We have fasted, we have gone without food, and you didn't notice. We have afflicted our souls, and you did not notice. And a lot of times people deny self for very selfish reasons, if I can say that. I've never put it that way before, but it's very appropriate. A lot of times we deny ourself for very selfish reasons. And I want you to know, God is going to address through Isaiah here what true fasting is, and he's going to tell how true fasting accomplishes true God-given results. God does notice. God does notice, but the first thing that he notices is my heart right with him or not? Let me finish out verse number 3 here, and that's probably about all the time we're going to have. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Let me go into verse 4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? And so let me just address this because we're getting short on time, and that is this. Several years ago, I was on a streak, and I would begin in January, and I'd go on a 40-day soup and juice fast every year. And did that. I loved the time of seeking God. It also had some weight benefits to it that I would, by the end of the year, have undone and find myself in a very similar starting point the next year. But one year I noticed and I said, you know, God, I'm having a real difficult time starting this fast this year. And God spoke to me and he said, well, let me ask you something. I said, okay, what would you like to ask? And he said, are you fasting at this time of year because it's something you've always done, or are you fasting because I called you to do it? Are you fasting in obedience, or are you fasting out of tradition? Are you fasting in a manner that pleases me, or are you fasting because it's just something you've always done? And I believe since God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, I should answer very truthfully. And I said, God, to be honest with you, I think I'm fasting right now because I've always done this. And he said, well, why don't you spend some time seeking me and getting my direction and find out what I would really like for you to do at this point in time? You know, you may be going through some things in your life, and at one point in time, God had told you to do that or to seek his face for this reason. And you may have a lot of traditional things, and right now you're pretty frustrated. Today, I want to talk to some frustrated believers, and I want to ask you, how long has it been since you've double-checked with God as to your marching orders, as to knowing what he wants you to be doing right now? If it's been a while, check with the King. Say, God, what would you have me do? Father, as we continue, or as we end this week of broadcast, I pray, God, that each one of us would have a heart to know you, to know what you require, to know what you want from us. God, I pray that discouragement and disillusionment would give way to peace and the joy of the Lord this weekend. God bless you. We hope to see you at church Sunday morning at 10:30. Till then, we'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.1.